Okay, so we're live. Welcome back to the Magic Minds podcast. You're watching and listening to the Liberty's number one podcast. Yup, the Liberty's. Yup, the fucking Vlads. On the show today, I'm joined by Jer Redman. Jer, what's the crack?
How are you, Matt? How's things, pal?
I'm delighted to have you on, Jer. Really, really am.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
And I know from watching your stuff online, you've done a ton of podcasts. And I said to you just before we get started, I'm sure at times you get a pain in your hoop with this shit.
Yeah. I do. You get a pain in your bollocks listening to yourself, you know, your own story and others. So,
yeah.
Short of, I have a pain in your bollocks listening to others. They have a pain in the bollocks listening to mine.
I appreciate your honesty because I'm in the middle of talk sometimes and I go, I'm actually sick of listening to myself talking.
You do. But look, that's why we need to be versatile in our stories and continue to grow. Because if we continue to grow, we can continue to tell that story, the new story.
I love it. I love it. Why did I ask Jer to come on the show? Jer is a coach in Overstown. He's also what I would describe as a light worker. Jer brings light into prisons because he knows what it's like to be in the dark. He's come from a life of crime, a life of difficulty. And now he's showing people, man, woman, child, whoever that he meets with, that he's a light worker and that there's hope. In your words, there's hope out there for people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's important for the likes of myself and other people with experiences, lived experiences, to reach back and create hope for them people, because it's hard when you're in that dark light and you don't know how to get out. And it might just be that one person that comes into your life that has a similar situation to you that you can resonate with, and you'll say, do you know what, that's me. And now look where he's at. But then also, what did he do to get out? You know, a lot of people won't take up counseling, one, for financial difficulties because they are very expensive. But another thing, another reason why he wants, because he haven't got that strength within them to actually first accept responsibility for where they are. And sometimes it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility to get out of that hole, because no one comes back for you. Trust me. Nobody comes back and gets you. Only you.
Is no one coming to save you? Is that what you're saying?
No one's coming to save you. Now, you've got all the resources and you've got all the inspirational people around there telling you how they done it. But no one came back for me. I came back for myself. My soul was saved by me. I made me. That's my comment, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. There's two things.
No one made me. I made me.
Wow. Wow, you're an expression of the universe. I love it. And that's exactly what you're saying. You said something there that I thought was really poignant. You reach back.
Yeah.
You help people look back. Or you help people. You know what it's like to be back there.
Well, reach back and bring them forward. Yeah, with the experience I had, because I know what it's like to be in that dark hole, and I know what it's like to have no one come near you and leave you there and give up on you and just call you a scumbag. But there was a reason why I was, I suppose, exposing all them dark emotions on people and negative emotions. There was a real cause to my issues. Never judge a book by its cover, which I've done many a time myself. Don't get me wrong, I'm no angel.
Help me do it.
But I do know now never to judge a book by its cover, because as I said to you earlier, we could open the book on any individual and read through it. We say, is there any wonder that person ended up on that road?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to point the finger. It's the easiest thing to do, to have empathy around that and actually think about what that person has gone through. And what I do is, even when I went to the prisons and I work in the kids' prison, which is, it gives me so much fulfillment.
Look at your eyes when you just said that. Look at your smile.
Lights up.
Lights up. Lights up. That's when you know what someone's doing is the right thing to do.
When I walk in there, I light up.
I went to Overstown. I was representing Solace Project. They asked me to do a talk. There was a couple of kids, high profile kids on that. I didn't give a fuck. I don't care what they did. I've got compassion and empathy for them. But it was an amazing experience. Even in a difficult environment, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. But we don't get to judge people.
No.
Who are we to be judging anyone? That's not our purpose in this world. We're not here to judge. We're here to help.
Here to help.
If you're not here to help, shut your mouth. Wrong time.
Shut the fuck up.
Isn't it? What? You know, many people out there opinionated and they have no clue what it's like to be on the other end of the stick. They've no clue what it's like to have someone locked up. They've no clue what it's like to be locked up. They've no clue what it's like to have no mother and father. They've no fucking clue. So fuck, keep your opinions to yourself.
Yeah.
But then again, we do need them people at times as well, because they do help us out of that hole, because we can prove our point.
Yeah.
Because I prove my point through a lot of people. Then when I prove my point, I didn't care what they thought. they don't actually give a fuck what you think because I'm strong now and my internal dialogue is good. You know,
that really resonates with me because I went back like you, done a lot of education, trying to prove because I failed, drug, whatever. And I was trying to prove everyone wrong. And then when I got to the other side of many mountains I climbed, I went, I actually don't give a fuck. Now I don't even talk about my qualifications, although I've done tons of them. Not that important.
No.
I'm important. You're important. That's what's important.
But growth is important. I think respect is important, you know. And just being a good human being is important. You know what I mean? And I think if you're good and you follow a certain amount of rules in your life, like I do a bit of Bible reading. I actually do Bible studies in the prison with the kids.
Yeah.
For a pastor called John. Do you believe that? And I believe we met for a reason.
Everything is for a reason.
I'm at the other end of the scale. I was locked up. And John is at the other end of the scale. The most... Oh, you want to see the love this man has.
Yeah.
He's unreal. He teaches me all the time. He tells me stuff. Without me telling him my problems, I don't feel. He gives me little passages out of the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, fucker.
So on point. When the student is ready to...
I'm thinking like...
When the student is ready to master the pair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unveil.
Like if you listen and watch closely, there's messages and gifts in everything.
Absolutely.
Like the synchronicities, that's ordained. That's divinely ordained, that mean. Would it be all right if it's okay with you to go back, tell us about life growing up for you?
Yes. Yeah, no problem. I grew up in Darndale, North County, Dublin. I'm sure a lot of people can resonate with this, you know, because I'm not the only one out there that had a bad upbringing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're just a statistic.
Yeah.
Disrespect. Exactly. Yeah, you're a statistic. 100%.
Yeah, so I grew up there. My home would have been cold, no warmth, no love. My mother and father wouldn't know how to show compassion. My mother would have been an orphan, not an orphan. She was adopted as a young kid, so she would have had a lot of trouble in her life, you know, that I only sort of am understanding now myself after I came through the bushes myself, and I'm sort of on the other side, you know what I mean? So I'm having more empathy around her life and even my father's life. My father had got a mother and father growing up. But again, it would have been a hard enough growing up, you know what I mean? My granddad would have been hard enough, to be honest with you. I remember a few instances, he was a tough enough man. Like, it's all generational, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We just continue on and we learn from a generation. And just happened that my generation was a bad one. And I ended up in that family. But, you know, growing up, yeah, I'd have been the kid on the bus that no one wanted to sip, so I could smell a piss on me, you know what I mean? And I had that a lot of time because I was coach. I was actually in concealing school. Not why they put me there, but anyway, look, probably trying to do the best for me. Coach would pull up outside. Remember, I used to piss to bed for whatever reason.
Me too.
I used to do it and I wouldn't be washed. Usually wake up late and the bus would be 2 minutes and you'd be out the door, smell of piss and clothes, and you'd be sitting on the bus and people be laughing at you. And that was a regular thing, mate. But when I played, I loved fucking soccer for some reason. I loved soccer and I felt that was my family and my family home wasn't, which is sad to say. But look, at that's the way it was. I became really good at soccer, playing for the Dublin team, playing for Leinster, schools. Then I got trials. Dunfermline came off to watch me skill. Ended up going over there with trial. I remember, fucking best name of life. I was actually playing FIFA 2 weeks before. My mates got playing Dunfermline. You know, ride the rover stuff. We used to watch matches there all the time. And next of all, I'm fucking going over the... On a trial, couldn't fucking believe it. Man, it was like dream come true, right? But if you ever had a dream taken from beneath your feet like that, right? I'll tell you what happened. I got off the flight, went down, met them at Falkirk, went down and met them and I couldn't open them. Proper dressing rooms, brand new kit I had on, new boots, beautiful. Half time, do a little 3-1, went off the bench. I scored 2 goals to make it 3-all.
No, you're
like, yeah. And I led up the winner, right? They won 4-3. Oh, it's fucking over the mill, right? Yeah. Brought around East End Park, which is in Dunfermline, the Paris, they were called. And the manager then offered me a YTSU training scholarship. Couldn't believe it. Like, it's basically an apprenticeship. 2-year contract as an apprentice to start my trade. Went home, playing for St. Columbus at the time. Couldn't believe it, Coolock. It was a fucking great time for the area to see a kid, you know, that had nothing. I grew up amongst everyone that had nothing. And here I was.
This was in the 90s?
This was in the 90s, yeah. 90s, yeah. It was time with the Alma Bomber because
yeah.
That's, I was actually there when that happened. And I got a bit shunned from it. Sure, look, I didn't, you know, I know and about that politics and all like that. I said, but it was around that time. But yeah, 6 months into that, I got a call from home to say that my dad committed a crime, Coolock, manslaughter. And we went home to see if everything was all right, and the gaff was in fucking chaos and trouble. And, you know, my two options, go back to play football or in Scotland, or I look after my brothers and sisters and be the man in the house. Father was gone, then my mother left home a month later with another man, left. So they left us, myself and my sister, with two, with four kids under the age of 10.
What were you at the time?
15 or 16.
Jeez.
Yes. Yeah. Still, my sister was still doing her leaving cert. So we were left them, four kids under the age of 10. And then I joined the gang, then with protection, because people like my dad committed a crime against father's revenge and get threats and all. I joined for protection, started being a runner, come bringing stuff from A to B, whatever it may be. And then, repeating much, not long after that, about a year or two, with so much emotional negativity were inside me of what I lost to now becoming this fucking drug dealer. Looking at me, brother and sister, I didn't know what, where my emotions were. Didn't know how to regulate the emotions. So I just took drugs because I didn't want to sit with that trauma. And then I spoiled out of control. I used to hit people like that. You owe me money, you got to help me stop it. But it wasn't about the money, you know what I mean? It was about my internal negativity, the trauma, and the, I didn't know how to regulate it. I didn't know whether this was normal or something pinched me. We're going to wake up with a fucking dream. What's going on here? Everything just went. So I went from putting the ball in the back of the net to putting food in the table.
Fuck.
With a flash of a light. Like. So, and again, it's down to other people's actions, right? Other people choose to go down this road, and then other people pay that price.
Mm.
And I paid the price for my dad's, for his actions. And so did we all. But I wasn't the only one that was hurt. The whole family, my brother there was, you know, he's serving a life sentence, you know. So, like, we've all went down the bad road. I thankfully pulled it around. I thankfully, through having a good woman beside me as well, with being my wife, you need good people in your corner, do you know what I mean, as well. And my wife would have walked away a long time ago. She's still standing there. So I'm very grateful to have her in my life. I think without her, I probably, more than likely, you know, I was always strong-minded, but I wouldn't be where I am today. That's for sure, you know. I definitely wouldn't be where I am today. A lot more empty and love. I wouldn't go. Christmas, I'd go for a run. You know, Christmas, I'd go for a run. Wouldn't celebrate Christmas, wouldn't celebrate birthdays, because I never had that, them moments with my family. It's
fucking sad.
Love, do you know what I mean?
The love, like Christmas around love. Yeah,
you
know, love.
Like your fire, a bit of heat. A toys, your man there sitting with you, playing with them. I never had that.
Alien. That's like someone coming on and speaking Swahili to you. Look, I don't understand that.
You know what I mean? And I didn't understand that. And then I would have done that to my kids, only for my wife, having my good family. And she had her own traits and she fucking nailed them into me. You know, this is living. That's not right. You know? And then you have to also be in touch with emotions, you know what I mean? And realise it's not right.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, people want to be better. You know what I mean?
But you didn't know.
No, of course. Like, of course.
But isn't it deadly that she was able to say that she and mind you through the process?
Yeah.
She done a with love.
Yeah, you know, she used to, come on. You know? And inside I wanted it, you know. Inside I was like,
but you were afraid.
And I used to say I didn't like it, but eternally I liked it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Like, this is great, but I was this hard external person that even the horse, like, I don't like this, but I really liked it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is strange, but I just always had that external dialogue of no, and shut up shop. But internally, I really want to. I used to always, people would offer me stuff, right? Be 10 kids in the room and they'd all get a bag of sweets. And I'd say, no, but I wouldn't take. I would never take on off anyone because I always fend with myself. I got to the point in my life after my dad and ma went that no one gave me nothing. And I got to the point where I said, I don't want anyone off anyone. I'll never ask anyone for that ever again. They can all fuck off. I'm going to get my own stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. And then as I said, even when I was in any school or a football team, people would be getting tops, but I want it. Don't want it. And everyone else would have it, be happy, and I'd be like, I don't want it. Just take it, it's a fucking free top. I don't want your top. You know, I wouldn't take on that off anyone, never take on that off anyone. Just fend it for myself. Just learn it from an early age. I'm not dependent on no one here, I'm on my own here.
You basically, the people that were left in charge to mind you and give you the love, they abandon you, yeah. They hurt you. So I can't trust any fucker after exactly. This point because that just looks like kindness. And when I got kindness done to me before, I'm not having that shit.
I'm not having that feeling ever again.
Yeah, no one's never going to do that to me.
No one's going to have that power on me.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the turning point on that one then?
Turning point on that was, I suppose, I got locked up then in 2014. I got 2 years, got 3 years suspended sentence. That night it was, got chased by the guards, thrown two grams of coke away. They caught me, put a gram of coke in my pocket. We got 2 years for that. It was reactivated, right? I'm glad it happened. I'm actually glad it happened because it showed me a lot in life. I learned a lot.
In money, prison?
Yeah. Money can't buy that experience I got. Money cannot buy it. And I'm very grateful. I know it's going to sound weird, but I'm grateful for that experience because things could have got a lot worse if I hadn't have been taught that lesson. Very, very valuable lesson in my life. One of the main lessons was that I just done what my dad done. You know, I sat there my first night in prison and I was crying, going, I just fucking done what he done. I cried and cursed him for fucking years when he done that to me. I take my dream. I'm like 4 kids at this stage. And I was like, I just done what he done. Who am I? I'm a fucking asshole. I'm an asshole just like him. And that killed me. That ate me. And then again, in prison, I showed up shopping myself. I knew how to do that. I was actually comfortable in prison because I was used to the chaos.
Like what we said, like going into prisons, I was uncomfortable going into Weefield when I was teaching it there because I know what madness is about. Yeah. And I felt comfortable around these people. Do you like what? In the prison? I was like, yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah. I went in there, I was grand, not a bother. Bedded in, went to school, learned the guitar, went to the gym, you know.
Where did you do your stretch?
Mountjoy, start. I actually went to Weefield first, done a remand, week in the remand there. Talked to Ronnie Messon. Wind me up. Ronnie Messon. But then I got sentenced. Went to Mountjoy. My brother was actually on the same landing, so the minute I went in, they put you in these Homer Simpson jocks. Fucking disgraceful. Like, you know, when you go in, your cart wrap gets taken off you, which would be your civilian clothes.
Yeah.
They give you the red clothes, the prison clothes, with green pants, the red top, red short, and boy, Homer Simpson jocks. I was like, what the fuck? But anyway, I was grand. I went up the land and my brother hooked me up and got me a load of new clothes and all. I was grand. But even when I went up there, like, I wanted to do my own thing. I was a lone wolf growing up, do you know what I mean? So I just done my own thing. Got me jobs and then I got moved to PATS, which is a progression unit, which is for level 4s. So it's people who want to just get in and get the time done and they want to be acting up bollocks and they're in taking drugs. It's fine. Done that. Doing a bit of maintenance work over there. Again, done a marathon in the yard of the progression unit, done a full marathon. Got me watch sent in, done a full marathon. So I was always still hitting goals in the prison, you know what I mean? I was always goal orientated. I always loved to suffer. You always used to do things that people didn't want to do. Like
what? Give us an example.
Like a marathon in the yard, like people looking at me going, "You're something wrong with you. You're locked up and you're doing a marathon in the yard." But I said, I wanted that pain. I fed off that pain. That was my medicine. And when I was outside, it was grand, I could take drugs for the pain. But now I hadn't got access to as much drugs as I would like. So I always had that control over everything.
Yeah.
So I went and done drugs. I needed the drugs. Yeah. I needed access. Yeah. And I'll stop when I want to stop.
That's always like that.
Right? So in there, I knew I hadn't got that. So I couldn't go down that road. So I needed to find something different. So I used to do the Spark 300, which is 10 press-ups, 10 sit-ups, 10 dips. Right? I started knocking them out. Now it took me a while. Then I started doing it with 10 kilo vests. Started with 5 kilo vests, 10 kilo vests. Made me huge. But I was knocking my people up and going, you're a leading weirdo. But no one had touched the dip bar and the pull-up bar because they were all your own body weight.
Yeah.
So that was the stuff people stayed away from. I wanted to go near that because I didn't like taunting people. I'll do my own thing over here. You do your own thing over there. then once I'd done that, I'd done the marathon. Then I started jogging. Found pain in that. Pains my legs, no ride runners and all that stuff. So I started doing that and started loving that with Little Martin. And then when I got out then I just ended up going, but and then I realised my family was only there for me in the prison as well. No one else came near me, the gang or not even friends. One or two friends did say whatever, send up a letter or, you know, my one visit I think I got out, one or two friends. You know, but very, very little. Not enough to ruin to sort of go, they're fucking good friends or, you know, I didn't really feel the love from that side. But bear in mind, I was never one to love either.
Yeah.
So, do you know what I mean?
It's a resonance. What you put out is what you get.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? When looking back, like, yeah.
You rock around with these people for a reason.
Yeah.
There's no emotional attachment and just doing business, but we think there is, but there's
no.
Because you didn't have it in you to do it. You weren't taught that lesson.
No, exactly. But the wife was always there and my family was there, and that was important. But even when I got out, I just disrespected my wife again. Do you know what I mean? I was girlfriend at the time, I got married then. But I just disrespected them. I just went back to the gang and just forgot how good they were to me and what they meant to me. Because I hadn't got that empathy still. I just didn't have that love. I found it very hard to accept love and give love.
Yeah.
And that's, I needed something. I could manipulate someone by pretending I loved them. Not even pretending, but you would love them, but you just couldn't continue on. You do until you got them. So I'd love my wife's like, all right. Once I had her, then it was grand. I have her now.
Control.
Just control and manipulation. Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was a monster.
Yeah. All that stuff. So it's fake, you know what I mean? Then when I got out then, look at me, son Ross was born in 2016. And I just swore that was it. Like when he was born, he was a boy. So I had 4 girls and a boy at this stage. And I was like, waiting for the boy for that long. And then when he lands, I was like, you know what? I'm going to be his hero. That's it. I'm just going to change. I'm going to be such a hero to him. I'm going to change my whole generation, everything, to make sure that he has a better life. And he doesn't follow my footsteps. That was the thought process behind that. And I just wanted it. But I knew I had to change me first, because my dad used to tell me, don't drink, don't smoke, don't do that. And he's doing
exactly the same.
I'm like, you're a fucking hypocrite. Like, I fucking hate hypocrites.
Well, you only said this to Lisa that was just sitting there to you. Kids do what we do, not what we say.
Yeah.
And I remember growing up as a kid, my man, I'd be doing something that. Like, my dad's my hero. Oh, he'd done his eulogy and it was called Superhero's Eulogy. So it was lovely to hear you say that. But my man was going off on a mad one, but yeah, telling me to respect the neighbours, be kind to people. She'd bait the head off me and go mental. So your kids see you doing stuff like that. You're not kind of mirroring back what we want.
No, exactly. You have to be a doer. Like, Jesus said, no, what monkey see, monkey do.
Exactly.
And I knew that, and I tell them when they go into prison, no matter what, you change your ways, good or bad, your kids will pick it up. Yeah. They'll follow you.
They swim and are unconscious. Yeah,
they will. Well, I said, they want to be you all the time. So I knew that I had to change the generation. Now, I didn't go out to change the generation the way I actually did it. I exceeded what I went out to do. So I changed my circle, like got out of the gang, paid my bills, left the circle. Now, not as easy as that, but there's a bit too of
it. Yeah, I can imagine.
I got out 2017. I actually went to watch my mate Mick Akio do an Ironman 2016, yeah.
So are you mates with Mark as well? Mark, I see.
Clement?
Yeah.
I coach Mark, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be good friends with Mark, yeah.
Fucking.
He's a legend.
He's hilarious. Yeah. I love his videos. He's funny as fuck.
Pretty good, yeah. Lovely fella. He done a 57-minute 10-miler yesterday in class. 3:34 pace.
I love his videos. He's funny as fuck.
He's a good lad. But where was I going with that anyway? Yeah, so I went to watch Mika do an Ironman, and then I said, Jesus, maybe I could do that. Seeing a load of old lads doing it, no disrespect to old people, like 50, 60-year-olds, and I was like, fuck, they're playing, flying.
Killing it.
Yeah, so I needed something at that time, and that just, as I said to you earlier, I think things happen for a reason. And I think that failed me, you know. It's hard to try out and found me.
I'm watching the crumbs of success in your life, you know, your wife, the pastor that you told me about before we started. Like, it's all there. It's very evident.
Yeah.
People just turn up, just fucking, and it resonates where you're at.
Yeah. It continues, and it continues and continues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've got doors opening all the time, like, fucking hell.
And you walked off. You know that?
Amazing.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. But when you truly change, that happens, you know.
Yeah.
When you truly change and show true change.
From the inside out, not outside in.
Yeah, because people can see that.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. It's an energy. Yeah. You can feel it. Like, I walk into a room, I'll know who's doing a work, who's not. People have a dark energy going on with them, no disrespect or judgment.
I
just feel it.
Yeah, you do.
Like, even when I go in meditation groups and as a participant, I will feel the energy from people, just the body language, the way they speak, the eye contact.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. And when we and you start doing the work, like you, it's clear you're doing your work, we look different.
Yeah,
it's a vibration, isn't it?
100%, yeah. Same with John. Like, this is John, and I know you meet with up here. Like,
that's John.
John is the pastor. And
oh, yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
see him. Everyone sees him. He's like a bleeding, glowing angel going around the Overstown, you know what I mean?
He's just transparent.
It's unreal, and you can't say anything to him. No, not that I ever do, but I've heard of that. Officers telling them, can't do that. I said, okay, no problem. And it just pushes on.
Beautiful. The fuck?
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's
like, a great attitude.
When I go around making videos and some people say, why do you say that? Why are you so honest? I said, because I want to create transparency.
Yeah.
I want to be no darkness in me, no shadow, no. I just want to be all just
You had to be honest, you know, and I am myself today. I used to play to the crowd and we used to look for fucking jazz hands and tell them what they wanted to hear. I don't care anymore. Tell them what I want to tell them. Don't like it. Tiddaloo. That's what I mean. In a nice way. You create your own tribe by who you are. People don't like it. That's fine. It's not personal. I won't take it personal. And I might still like you.
Yeah.
If you don't like me, it doesn't mean I don't like you.
I was actually only talking to someone about this. Yes, he had an argument. This fellow went to a workshop he was doing and he was giving out to his mate years ago. And your mate was like, okay, what? How can I help you? He's like, what? I'm fucking have to give it out to a time. And he goes, yeah, because you're my buddy. He goes, well, you're not my buddy. He goes, that doesn't matter. I'm still your buddy.
People have shit going on in their lives. Not every day is going to be a good day for them. And they might lash out on you and usually lash out on the people that are close to them. But that, like we said earlier, you have to have empathy around that and understand that.
How did you develop empathy and compassion for yourself? What's the work that you did around that?
Counseling.
Right.
Yeah, we got the counseling. I got all the darkness out.
Right.
And when I went to counselor, he said, you have the same trauma as someone would if he lost two kids. Yeah. And he also said I had a dead boy inside me, which was hard to hear. That's what he told me.
What did you make of that? What did that mean to you?
It was scary, but
if it's this that the young Jer had died inside that you never let him to
And you wouldn't believe wishing. When he said that, I swear to God, this is what happened. I'm not messing with when he said that, I seen a grey boy in the corner. Now, it was obviously a vision of my imagination, right?
Yes.
Well, you know, that's what I seen. I pictured it. When he said that, I pictured me. And I seen me as a boy in the corner. Like, that was head down. Grey. Like, it was fucking weird. And I got afraid. I actually got afraid from it. I was like, geez, that's scary. Like, that's actually scared me. But I'd done the work.
Done the work.
I faced up to it. And it was the hardest thing I'd ever done. Was actually face up to the fucking demons. I never even knew they were that dark until I actually start opening up that. It's like peeling an orange, do you mean? Just keep peeling away. And the thing is, when you do the work, it can be a bit negative on you as well. That's why I had to stop doing talks for a good while. I could have been about 15, 16. Now, I'd done the work for about 7, 8 years, but when I kept peeling away, right, fucking eventually got to the core. It's an onion, actually. You peel the onion, right?
Peel the onion, layers.
I got to a stage where I was sitting there, wasn't talking to him. And I knew there was something else, right? And I was like, we're done now because I'm sort of happy. You know? And he's like,
it's a spiral. You go down,
you're not done. And I was like, you're just looking for me, money.
Yeah. I used to think that as well with counselors.
Do you know what it was? I realised what the car was and I didn't want to face it.
What was it?
It was fucking abandonment. I had abandonment trauma.
Yeah, your abandonment issues.
Abandonment issues. So I don't want to go into too much into it. Just because I don't want to disrespect certain people.
Of course.
But I had abandonment issues where I had to have other relations, other relationships.
Yeah. And here's the thing, Jerry, right? We can talk with our people, abandonment us. Roy was doing singing lessons one day and your man showed me on the video and he goes, have a look at this. And I turned away. And I went to myself instantly. You just turned away from yourself. You just abandoned. You're going on about people abandoning you. You fucking abandoned yourself.
Yeah.
Just right here.
Yeah.
We abandon ourselves more than other people do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's about integrating that shadow, integrating that peace that we've abandoned. And no one does that for us.
No, 100%. The way I actually said to him, I said, look, I'm going to tell you. But I said, I'm not starting on it. I said, but I'll throw it up there. I plan to see it. So I told him, I said, this is what it is. And he goes, that's okay.
Sounds right.
That sounds about right to me. He goes, and look, there's no rush and fair play to him. But I remember Christmas, it was a Christmas, and he goes, I said, I'll do it next week. I said, look, I'm not doing it Christmas. I'll do it in January. He goes, just fucking do it. Yeah. When are you going to do it? I ended up doing it in December, and it fucking killed me.
And it's about when you're ready to do it.
When can you, it's like, when will you ever be ready? I don't think you're ever ready for that.
Which? Your soul knows.
Yeah.
Your soul knows. Yeah. You know, we'll do it.
But that's why I chose that time. And I was just, you know what? I just had a pain in my nuts haunting people. That's what it was. I was actually tired of haunting people.
Yeah. And yourself.
Yeah, but more than other people.
I was
tired of listening to people as well, telling me I was haunting them. Do you know, just draining me. And it was my fault. But you ever get someone just constantly at you, two or three people, like, and I was like, do you know what? They're right, and I'm not doing it anymore. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of listening to it. I'm done. And the only way out is going to get that help.
Only way to get over this is through it.
It's true.
Yeah. What did someone say to me yesterday at a workshop? There's a picture of a dog sitting on a nail. And he goes, why is he not getting off the nail? He'll only get off the nail when the pain gets too unbearable.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's like us.
Yeah.
Like when the pain of doing what we do, hurting other people, breaking people's heart. Because really what we're doing is we're breaking our own heart. Well, we think it's them, but really we're doing it to ourselves.
Yeah. And the thing is, people without trauma don't really understand it. You know, you're trying to tell them, this is trauma. Like I'm, do you know what I mean? I'm not fucking taking the piss out. This is actually trauma that's hurting me. And I need this as a drug to stem that trauma. Like whatever I was doing, I needed in my life.
Just to keep you alive.
Just kept me going. Like. And I only realised when I got to the end of that onion that if I don't have this, I'm fucked. We can't live.
No order to be disordered.
It was like taking heroin off an addict. That's what I felt like. I was an addict to that. I mean, it had me by the... Well, look, I got through it.
Like people use drugs, drink, gambling, riding,
yeah.
Education, yeah. Status, social media.
Yeah.
To suit a pain.
But it's all there. It's all... You need to understand your emotions and you need to... You can't live like that. Don't let a substance... Don't let something rule you. Rule it. Do you know what I mean? And I didn't want to be ruled by anything. So I was like, I'm not letting this fucking rule me anymore. I'm going to be the fucking owner of my life. I'm going to be the king of my castle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not letting someone else fucking dictate when I can't have an attitude and when I wake up and, do you know what I mean? And holding people. It just came to the stage where it's just like, yeah, I was just ready to do it. I was ready to do the work.
And did that come to fruition then? Did you see the joys and the benefit within your family, with your wife and your kids? Can you see the effect of the work you do on your family, the ripple effect on your kids now?
Oh, do you know what? It's only this year, because it's been hard and it's been tough. And when you change something like that, it's hard to get used to. You know what I mean?
Of course.
And you still hurt other people because your emotions are still being regulated in a negative way because you're trying to control this into a new you. And bring it into your new life. And all of a sudden, this is like, I don't have that anymore. You know what I mean? And you're trying to think of other things. What else can I use? What can I do? And then you have a lot of negative stuff. And then that doesn't work. That's chaos brings chaos.
Of course.
Then you got to balance it back and go, right, what else can work? And then sport has always been the saviour for me.
Yes.
Sport has always kept me in the straight now. And sport's like my best mate.
It's your love.
It's my love. I love sport. You know, and it'll never be out of my life. But sports has saved me yet again. Saved me growing up. Saved me when I got out of prison. And yet again, I'm back. And it's been my saviour. And then, look, I'm doing the Bible studies with the kids out of prison. We're doing the seven deadly sins at the minute. We've done Pride last week. The week before. Then Envy. And then Look tonight.
In Oberstown?
In Oberstown. We have seven kids that we walk with in the room. And we explain each of the seven deadly sins. One every Tuesday, because it's leading up to Easter. And in each one of them, there's different passages on how to fix that deadly sin. You know, you read these passages, and if you follow these rules, you won't have envy. You know what I mean?
Really?
Powerful.
You must share that with me.
I have it there, because I print them off the kids.
Yeah.
So last week was envy. I'll bring in now this week, I'll have envy. I'll have an explanation on envy, and I'll have all the passages in the Bible on envy.
Wow.
Yeah. And they bring it home, we give them a... Man, home is home for now. I tell them that's your gaff for the minute. Yeah, it is what it is. So they bring them back and they have that Bible and we show them how to read passages. So, and also they can print them. I have them printed, they stick them up on the walls and then they'll understand. Because we all have the seven deadly sins within us. And if you're ruled by that, your life is not good. You gotta be aware before. I didn't understand what envy was. You know, I was like, wow, that's envy. I have a bit of that. How do I change that? Do you know what I mean? You start the chink in the armour. They say everyone has a chink in the armour.
Yeah, the crack is where the light gets in.
Yeah, but like, look, we're never going to be perfect. No. But if you're aware of these emotions.
Awareness is the greatest change. It's the greatest agent for change, awareness.
Yeah, so. But look, I'm very, in a very privileged position to be actually part of that. You know what I mean? But again, as I said, me and John bounce off each other. John doesn't talk prison. I do. So when they don't understand what John's talking, I understand what John's talking. I translate the prison talk.
Right.
So they go, don't really understand. And then I pick up on their body language, like you said. I know they haven't got a clue what John's saying.
It's gone over their head. So you'll break it down.
So I'd say, when I was a kid, This is what John means. And they're like, yeah, poet.
Brilliant.
I mean, because I have that emotion around what he's saying. So I'll bring that into a life.
To live the experience.
Yes.
I was only saying that to Lisa earlier, the likes of you and Lisa and myself going and doing these talks. We can bridge the gap, whether it be into the spiritual, into the church, whether it be into therapy. Because you know, if you went to a young from Darren Day and Kula and you start talking about therapy, and if you sounded like somebody with a middle class accent or a doctor, they'd be like, fuck off, fuck you. But if Jared came along and said, counseling's all right, I've done it, like blah, 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 blah. And they were like, yeah, really?
Yeah.
Let me help you with that.
Exactly.
When you go with your Bible talks, they're like, well, Jared does that, and you look like a cool little lad. They'd be like, he's fucking sound.
Yeah, and that's what we do. Because that's what John says. He says, you're a little gem because I wouldn't get this opportunity without you because they wouldn't come to me on their own.
Yeah.
But because I tell, because when I get them in my class,
you sound and look like them.
Yeah, I do triathlon classes. So I'll just give you a long story short. I went down and gave talks out there. A fella called Damon Hernan, he's the CEO of Overstown.
Yep.
So he'd be like the main man. His mate actually got in contact with him. They got in contact with me to give talks. So I went down and gave 5 or 6 talks in the building. It made such an impact on them. Then they asked for a meeting and they said, Slatton, you can deal with the permanent. I said, yeah, duff the vent and negative into a positive through sport, which is what I do. Because
yeah.
I believe that if you have pain, you can use sport as that medicine to vent into it. Yeah. That's what I do. That's why I became so good.
You can turn your poison into your power.
Yeah, I was like fucking loving it. Pain, this is not pain. What show is pain? This is sport. You're fucking mad or what?
We all choose our poison.
Yeah, but I loved it and I still love it to this day. So I wanted to do that, which has worked very well. But like that, I don't have a walkie-talkie. I don't have a panic button. They've never even offered me them because I wouldn't take them.
Yeah, you're not authority.
I'm not one of them as such. And that's no disrespect. I want to
be just Jared.
Lads. Yeah, I'm just one of the lads. I mean, I'm just coming in and coach. But when I'm doing one-on-ones, and say I only get 2 at a time, then I have to chat to them. Now I'm saying, look, it's not fucking easy. Once you get, because it took me about 6 months to get into a relationship with them, really, having a good chat with them where they'll open up because they literally just come in and look at you like, what the fuck is this?
He's just another one.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
So,
what works for you? What tools do you use to get in with them? Like, if you're working with a couple of things, what's the way in for them? I'm always looking for a pathway.
Don't ask questions. Don't ask questions. Never ask questions. Because they're not going to tell you, first of all. And second of all, they tell you when they want to tell you. And if they're never going to tell you, they won't tell you anyway. So you have to have that fucking...
Don't ask questions.
Why you ask questions for? Mind your own business. Everyone in their life, do you know what I mean, bro? Everyone in their life, anyone that asks questions was looking to get something out of them or were looking to fucking put them somewhere, or, you know, authority. Authority ask questions.
Don't trust.
Don't trust. So don't ask. Just, you're there to train them. How's things? What do you want to do? Want to do a bit of trying? Yeah. What do you want to do? Anything. Do what you want. There's a bike. Jump the bike. Have a chat. There's a drink. That's it. And that's all you have to do.
Just be the presence. Just turn
there. Just be there. Because everyone asks them questions. Everyone tells them what to do.
Yeah.
So fuck off.
No one wants to be told what to do. Like, realistically, no one wants to be told what to do.
But it's the people who stand there and just are there for them.
Yeah. Like you said, none of your mates showed up. No one showed up. So if you can show up for them,
that's all.
And support them.
That's all I do. Support them. If they want to talk, I'll talk. They want to ask me a question, I'll answer the question. You know what I mean? And then once I have that relationship, then I can start going, look at, you know, when you get out, go and do some sports. You know, this is what keeps you on the train. Now, I'm telling you now, this is what, you go to the gym, instead of going to the pub, instead of going to the sniff, go to the gym. The gym will be always there for you. Training will always be there for you.
Always there for you.
You know what I mean? Because they don't have that. They don't have them people that were there for them. So that's why training was so important in my life. So I try and get them to keep that as a tool. So when you go out and you feel down, go and train. Go for a run. Do something. Training will save your life.
Yeah.
That's the message I carry in there. And then hope, and then look at, they know I give talks in the prisons, and then when they get, see a lot of them in there, when they turn 18, they go to the main prison, if the sentence is big enough. So I can give them that little bit of advice. Look at, when you go up, keep your head down. You know what I mean? I've explained to them how the prison works, standard, and there's different tiers when you go in initially. You get into tier 4, you get more, do you know what I mean? Just keep working yourself up.
What do you mean by the tiers? Is that just the levels in a prison?
Levels. Like, you get more calls, do you know what I mean? You get a better prison, do you know what I mean? Once you're not penal, so.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's all good. But
looking back on your life, looking back on young Jer, if you could give any wisdom to that piece, what would your words of wisdom be to that?
Growing up,
there's
not much I could change, to be honest with you.
You wouldn't.
I couldn't. Like, I could if I could, but I wouldn't have the tools. I wouldn't have had the knowledge. You know, if I knew now what I knew then,
yeah,
of course I could change it, but I wouldn't have had the strength or the tools or to change anything. I've been asked this question before. Like, I've done what I could do. I've done my best.
Yeah, that's a great show. That's
all I've done.
Done your best.
I've done my best. I've done what I thought was right. And none of my family were hurt. I mean, that was my objective. Because I was getting threatened and they were getting threatened. And my objective was joining the gang was to make sure my family weren't hurt. That was it. And none of my family got hurt. Do you know what I mean?
So?
I think I've done well. I'm happy enough. As I said, all that experience and all that shit I went through, if I think I went through all that shit to now be able to help people with the experience I have, I'm happy enough to have gone through that shit. Take on the champions.
All the challenges you've been through, it's led you on to do a bit of work on RTE and a few shows. Tell us a little bit about that.
Best thing I've ever probably done or been on was at Open Hell Week in class.
What was that like?
Unreal. Like, the men, them Rangers, a different breed.
Are they?
Different men, different people. People, it's a privilege to be around them. Like,
you'd shine in that environment.
Unreal, they were. Class. Now, I'm much better now. At the time, I was still struggling. But I needed it, you know. Again, I went there for a reason.
Yeah.
There was a big learning curve for me around that. Because one of the Rangers kept telling me weaknesses. Kept saying, "You're fucking shy at this." And I knew he wasn't lying because I knew he was right. Yeah, because I knew
Jesus. They
were my weaknesses. So he wasn't winding me up.
Like, when you talk about your weakness, what do you mean?
Like, I was in charge of a Brava team. We had to carry these civilians up Wicklow Mountains. There was a big explosion. You want to see this now, this fucking class. So we're in Brava and Alpha, and there's six or something on each side, and we're going through the Wicklow Forest with guns, not real guns, but
yeah.
But we were in it.
You were all
we were fucking going to war here. That was that.
And you know what it's like to go to war.
Right. We're like kids, and they're like, I was genuinely going to war. Anyway, we had to go up and brief these, get information from these two soldiers, right? And just as we got Blessing Lakes, you know Blessing Lakes?
Yeah.
Just a bit by that. Next one, boom, big explosion went off, right? And then we had to go up there, and the lad legs were blown off and all. It was obviously choreographed, but it was fucking class. Blood everywhere, spitting it off. Legs gone. You know, proper.
What?
There's these two lads that go around, we know now, these two lads go around, the Scottish lads, they go around doing this for armies.
Yeah.
As an exercise. But you want to see how realistic this was? Like, hands over there and legs. I was like, what the fuck? Knowing it wasn't real, but then going, is this real?
Like when we were saying about walking into prison, your body doesn't know if this is real or not.
Didn't care. We had to save them. That was our job. If you didn't do it, you got fucked off the course, right? So it is what it is. Anyway, Brav and Alpha ended up mixing up. So my team was gone. Their team was all mixed. We panicked. So we had a stretch out with spilling on it. He's crying and blood coming out of his fucking glass. It was glass. Like, my kind of up the you ever see the wooden walkway up there?
Yeah.
Two beams. And it's slushy and it's November. And we can't walk the beams. We had to walk on the outside. So we're that mucking. You know what I mean? And then we had to swap. We had to drop them every few minutes. And I was like, you're supposed to say lower. I'd say 3, 2, 1, lower. And I kept saying drop. Yes, how many times have you told? I got fucking crucified, right? You're not a leader. You're fucking weak. You can't fucking control your team. Oh, and it was right, because I couldn't, because I hadn't got that internal strength. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, fuck are you? He's pulling me out in front of everyone. He's right. Yeah, and that hurt me, but it was a great learning curve for me, because you know when you go up moping, you're like, fuck. It really hurt me, but I continued on the exercise. Finished out the exercise, and the punishment was to run after the truck for a kilometre. We lost. Yeah, so we all had to run after the truck and be fucking crucified. That was a tough, tough day.
Wow.
But it was a great one, because all my weaknesses then, when I left that course, I was 2 hours into the seventh day. But I wrote down all the weaknesses I had, and I got after each and every one of them.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I got massive growth in that.
And what other shows? Is you done the...
Done Eating with the Enemy.
What was that like for you?
It's Well, I met Philip from Southside. So it was his point of view.
I was asked to go on that by a pal of mine, Dr. Mally Coyne. I was asked about going and doing the show. It didn't sit for me at the time. I'm not so sure about this.
Yeah, well, it was basically what he told me. He told me, trash her out. So he was all politics and all. You should be using politics. Now you're saying politics, sure, they don't fucking do anything for you. They get your vote and then they change the legislation and they don't really actually follow through on their words. So I don't vote. You know, and he ended up making a good point, and I did agree with him. He says, if you want to change with my platform,
yeah,
and if I want to do true change, you have to go through politicians. I have to go the right route, which made sense because it's easier said than done, but they're the ones that actually make the legislation. So if you want to make true change within your area, in your community, true change, you got to go through a politician.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the only way you're going to bring it to the right areas.
I'm interested in transferable skills. How do you use your background, your experience, the childhood, the stuff that you went through, i.e. in the Rangers, that talk, your future stuff? How do you transfer that skills? What are the skills you use? Because I use my past, my networking, my people skills, my fucking ducking and diving, but now I use it in the world that I work in, compassion, teaching, love. How do you transfer your skills? Or what skills do you transfer over?
I don't know. Don't really totally understand the question, to be honest with you. How do I use what I've learned, my learned experience?
From your youth, you know.
Yeah, well,
the difficult times, the pain, the understanding. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm best in prisons because I have a lot of empathy. And I know what it feels to feel like nothing, not the people to think you're nothing, and to not have that. People believe in you. So I have a lot of empathy around people like that. And every time I see someone in prison or in the kids' prison, I think of myself. And that just peels me right back. That's what I do. Just that's me. So what are you going to do for him that you want?
You see yourself in people?
Yeah, I see myself in people, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that gives me empathy straight away. In an instant, I have empathy.
It brings you right back.
Peels me back.
That's what I say to everyone. Pain is a great teacher, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, you know, it can really teach us. Because sometimes we try to hide our kids, our family from pain, but we're denying them an education. We're denying them a teacher. We're denying them a valuable skill set going forward, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like, I mean, my experiences, I suppose, will definitely come out with my kids, you know what I mean? But I was unaware of a lot of stuff growing up. Up until like the last 3 years, I was unaware of what I was doing. So I suppose you have to be aware of what you're doing, do you know what I mean? How you're hurting people, to be then able to tackle that emotion and fix it. First thing is awareness.
Awareness is the greatest agent for change, isn't
it? Yeah.
And you have to wake up to it, because you and I, we're unconscious for years because we are driven by unconscious people. And
exactly.
It's waking up to that, isn't it?
It's waking up to it and getting the help, do you know what I mean? Like, just one thing, knowing it. I'm being aware of it, but then you have to fix it, you know, and there's strength in that. So you have to fix it, because no point in knowing it and being aware of it, you're not going to do something about it. Then you're pissed against the wind, you might as well not know it.
yeah. But sometimes you, like me, sometimes I say, I wish I fucking didn't know it, because now, like you, when something comes up for me, like stuff in relationships, because if you want to work on anything, get into a relationship. You want to work on love, get into a relationship, what your wife taught you. Like, you can be at home doing your thing, doing your training, think you have it all sorted. But then when you get into a relationship, this stuff comes up, you become aware of it. You're like, fuck.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't know this.
Good wife will pull you on your shit.
Yeah. And it's done through love.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I tell the lads as well. If the loved ones is telling you're an asshole, you're more likely you're an asshole. You know? It's real. Like, they're not lying.
They
sometimes you're more likely an asshole. But what I mean by that is, if they're pulling you on your bullshit,
yeah.
You know, you're real bullshit.
And where most people will swallow it.
Yeah.
They'd be like, I see how you're behaving. I see the way you're on. That's just bullshit.
But you run away from that because you don't want to hear it.
You don't.
So all of a sudden they're cunts and you want smoke blown up your ass by someone who doesn't even love you. They're the fake people. We don't need fake people in life. We need love and the real people. And to be told the way you're acting. And then you'll face up to it. Like, you have to fucking, you have to believe the people who are telling you stuff. There has to be some truth.
Yeah.
So, how much think about that, you know?
What's the future, Hobie? What plans have you got in the future? What are you working on? What's the challenges? What do you do? Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. What you're up to.
Look, at the minute, I'm an online coach. So I do a lot of online. I'm working in Overstown, my own gym out there, and I'm a mechanical engineer in Amazon. Something out. I mean, I'm there about 7 months now. And then that's a new culture to me, you know what I mean? So
working in an office with people?
Yeah.
What challenges do you find in that?
Just like, you know, computers is 9 to 5, for first of all. Like, I haven't done 9 to 5 in about 8 years.
Really?
And then just being around, not even being around people, but I don't mind being around people. I do prefer to be on my own, to be honest with you. But I don't mind, you know what I mean, being around people. But it's just all new, do you know what I mean? And do I want to be on the 9 to 5 the rest of my life? Do I want to be on the hamster wheel? I think there's more to life than that.
I've been off for 2 years.
Do you know what I mean? And I've been off it and I've been working and to be honest with you, like, I'm financially all right without it. So just to see, did I want that? And because of the multinational, I also wanted to take, because of a conviction, I wanted to show people
great
that you can do it. Because when you go into the prisons, you know, I wouldn't get that. Well, you can, actually can. Put the work in and get on. You know, it's like I got my taxi license, took me 4 years. I got that just for that reason as well.
Wow.
Just say, yes, you can. Actually, you can.
Just break the norms, the social norms. You can't do that. Prisoners don't do that.
I don't like bullshit. I told you before at the start, I don't like bullshitters. I like people to say, if you can do it, you can do it themselves. So that's why I've done all them things. That's why I got my taxi license. That's why I got a job in Amazon. Because I wanted to prove a point. And look, if it's for me, it'll be for me. But if it's not, I'll learn it. And it's a good lesson I've learned from Amazon, because if I do stay, then it was for me. If I don't, I'll learn that. Prisons are for me. I'll know where I am. As you know, Rory Stories,
yeah,
good friend of mine, gave a talk out in Overstown for us. And he said, stay in your lane. You know, find your lane, stay in this. You know what I mean? Look, I know it's good to be out of your comfort zone, but if you're walking in somewhere you don't want to walk, you know, and there's no love there, find your lane. You know, and you'll become valuable in your own lane, you know what I mean? And that was a good advice I got from him.
I love sitting down with people and understanding what they do and what makes them great. And you obviously are an incredible human being. And I'm impressed just sitting here beside you, listen to your mindset. What keeps you on your game? What do you do? What are the things you could share with me? Books you read, your practices, your meditate. What do you do? What's your go thing to?
Yeah, I don't read books, believe it or not. It's putting me asleep. I train that hard that when I read books, I just go. but I do want to read books, right? I like, do you know what? I know who I am now. I know what I need in my life.
Yeah.
It's not drugs, it's not drinks, it's not women. Yeah, it is one woman, my wife.
Yeah.
I know that. Respect my wife, respect my family. But I love to train. Like, I done 50K last week around Holt. The other ones will find me pain. Because if I don't have that, I'll end up on the drinking drugs. So that's why I know who I am. So find out who you are and what you need in your life as a positive. And tap into that. Because I tap into that. I don't care. I'm not saying this because I want people to say, oh, he's fucking, I don't call bollocks, to be honest. A lot of people think, do you know what I mean? Cool. I genuinely don't. Yeah. I'm going back up this week and going to do 65K. Because I want to feel the pain. I want to tap into that pain.
There's a thin line between genius and insanity, isn't there?
Do you know what I mean? It's just beautiful up there. That, no one goes up there. No one does that. And I don't do it because of anyone else. Don't give a bollocks. But I do it because that's where I find pain. And I go soul searching up there. I'm up there on Friday night and I was fucking pissing. You remember Friday night?
Yeah. The snow and all that.
I'm up there. And
Dublin was locking down. Everywhere was locking down. You're out running.
I went out at 8 o'clock specifically for a reason. Because it was the end of the week, very tired, I'd done 4 talks, I was mentally drained, and I knew that was the time I was going to feel the most. So I said, I'm going up now, because this is where I get true growth. I'm rocking around there, I'm tapping into the soul.
It's tapping, you're a soul searcher.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I want to just...
It's very, very humbling.
Questions. What's the greatest piece of advice you've ever been given?
Yeah.
Or advice that you think is valuable then, even?
Just the best advice I'd give someone is to own your own shit. Man, fucking man up.
Stop blaming
everyone else, man. Something fucking wrong. Put it on yourself. Stop blaming your wife. Stop blaming your girlfriend, whoever you're going out with. Stop blaming your best friends, your fucking ma. Have a look at yourself in the mirror. You understand. Maybe this is me. And when you start when you look at that and you start pulling lances through that, you find a way out. You start becoming the person you want to become. Because I've become the person I want to become today with the help of a good wife. But I put a lot of work in myself as well, you know what I mean? And I've been aware of my emotions. Yeah, but I am a type of person that doesn't like bullshit. I told you that. Yeah. I don't like fucking bullshit.
But you're not just saying them. Listen to all that you've done. You just show the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's it. And that's what you have to do.
Show up.
Show up for your family. See, I went out by saying I want to change the generation. And what I meant by that was, wasn't becoming a professional athlete. Wasn't becoming this top athlete where everyone else thought was great. No, nothing to do with that. Because you see, when I got the professional license, I'm a Candice Pro and I got smoke blowing my ass. Meant nothing to me. But you know, now that I have my family and I have my generation in order and my fucking family in order, it's the most important thing to me. That's where it's at, boys. Yeah.
You're your greatest judge and jury. Hear that from you. No one judges you or has you held accountable than you.
No, I hold myself accountable.
That's right here. Yeah, it's deadly.
Yeah. But you have to. Because there's only one way to change a generation, and that's to change all the bad traits you have.
It's an inside out rather than outside in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very beautiful when you get that inside right.
Takes a bit of work, doesn't it?
Takes a bit of work. I'm 11 years. Like, I started the journey at 42.
Yeah.
When I got out of prison. It's about 22. I'm 11 years out. Oh, I swear to God, only this year. And I've took up a bit of Bible reading. I read to my wife at night. We pick a passage. And the passage will come out. And I'll just lick it. And honestly, we just open, point, and read. And it's beautiful. And we get messages all the time.
Me and my girlfriend sat last night. I was reading. I watched the film on Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
Fucking incredible. And I'm reading a piece out of my Bible around my prayer book. Imagine Jerry in the 90s, Matt in the 90s.
Yeah.
Telling you, you'll be sitting in the bedroom with your wife or your girlfriend reading passages of the Bible about Mary Magdalene and talking about Jesus. Jesus appears to me all the time.
Yeah.
It's mental, isn't it?
And the thing is, I couldn't give a bollock.
Couldn't give a fuck. I wear hot socks. I love Jesus. But don't give a fuck.
But I'm happy to.
Happy?
You know, I'm happy to accept that. Yeah. You know, I'm happy to accept that love in my life. Because I never felt love like it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I actually feel backed. I feel love. I feel backed now. I can't explain it. I feel loved. And that's how it's
real simple.
Yeah. Simple.
I end all podcasts with, what's the one thing you like people to take away after listening to this interview? What would that be to you?
Hope. As I said, I try to bring hope wherever I go. Don't mind me and what I've achieved. That's not what you're looking for. But look at what I've been through. And your hurt is as bad as my hurt. It doesn't matter if it's not as deep as mine. We all hurt the same, I believe. We all cut the same. So if you can take on from it, take this. We've been put on this earth by a generation of people before us that might have had trauma in their life and they just haven't got the strength to fix themselves. But by us being aware of that and fixing yourself, it's totally up to you to look after yourself and grab the reins by the scruff. But nothing changes unless you change. You know, so... It's a tough journey and you'll fail and fail and fail and fail and fail. You just got to keep getting back up on that horse. And eventually, someday, you'll be happy.
You're riding off into the sunset and you're a boy ball.
The confidence will come back and the self-awareness and the confidence, it all comes back to you. Because I thought I'd never be confident again. Honestly, God. It was drained, but it was just myself, inner self, me inner confidence was taken from me.
Yeah.
There's a way back.
What did you say at the very start? And I say this to people when I go into AA groups or CA groups to do work. No one's coming to save you.
No.
You're responsible for your saving.
Yeah.
And I know that might be hard for people, but it's very fucking empowering to know that you could do it all yourself. No AA, no Jesus, no fucking doctor, psychotherapist, me or you. You have to put your hand up and grab the boy.
Yeah.
Or you have to take the help if you've asked for help or ask God to get down on your knees. You got to do the praying.
Yeah.
It's real simple, isn't it?
You got to be vulnerable and be open for you.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, I know this probably sounds like blown smoke up a job, but you're an incredible fucking human, man. You're deadly. I'm sitting here going, you inspired the fuck out of me. It's deadly.
No, I appreciate it, man. And look at, I say this all the time when I do podcasts. Podcasts are platforms to help people.
Yeah.
And they are, like, they're very, very, they're needed in society, you know. And who do we know we're going to reach? We probably never know who we're going to reach, but that's not what it's about.
No, we just do the thing and
just let it go. Fantasy.
Yeah.
So yeah, looking well done to yourself, and I wish you all the success. going forward.
Thanks, brother. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, so there you go. There's a wrap. Oh, before we go, if people want to find you, want to do work with you, where will they get you? Forgot to say that.
So I have a website, jrebbins.com, and I'm also on Instagram, jrebbins5.
Deadly. So if you want to do any coaching with Jerry, you want to follow his work, support him, that's where you find him. Okay, so all interviews are brought to you for Lisa and Sandra from Shannon's Hope Line. The girls are on the last episode. Amazing girls doing amazing work in the Liberties around mental health. Me pal Noel Riley from Rooney Media Graphic helped me with all my podcast stuff. And then the main man on the camera over there, Matt, podcastdublin.ie. If you want to work with these amazing people, they do the studio, this Kill Studio. You want to rent this. They do podcast editing and services, and they're also running training, podcast training. So if that's something you want to get started, give them a shout. That leaves me just to say, Jared, thanks very much for coming on the show. Thanks to you guys for listening and watching and sharing my work. Yup the flats. Yup the fucking flats. And mind your little self. Take care.
Yup Kulak.
Yup the Kulak. Yup the Black Sheep. Did you ever drink the Black Sheep years ago?
Yeah. Yup the Kulak Running Club, by the way.
Yup the Kulak Running Club. That's important. Deadly. Thanks a lot, Jared.
Thank you.